afternoon, everybody. I'd like to start by acknowledging my my co-authors, Dr. Raj Khosla and Dr. Dwayne Westfall. This work was conducted at Colorado State University over the past several years, and now I am currently with the University of Nebraska. So that's why you get both of the icons here. So. Okay, so precision farming has been a research focus of agronomists for well over a decade now. And an important component of precision farming is identifying in-field variability in crops. Remotely sensed imagery can aid greatly in determining this variability. However, sometimes there are limitations depending on the platform you're going to be using. For example, with airborne imagery, you might have a cloud cover that might really affect whether or not you can get your data, weather concerns, things such as this. So using a handheld remote sensing device, these limitations may be overcome. One of the ways in which these handheld devices determine end variability is through normalized difference vegetation index, or NDVI. NDVI is a remotely sensed vegetation index that is correlated to leaf area index, LAI, and green biomass. And LAI, green biomass, and photosynthetic efficiency are affected by nitrogen and therefore also affect the NDVI readings that these sensors give you. And currently, there are different ground-based sensors available. And the impetus for this study was that in Colorado, with kind of some drier conditions where almost all corn is grown under irrigated conditions, we wanted to start to look to develop an end application algorithm using these sensors. But with two kind of prominent sensors out there and available, we weren't really sure which one we should use. So we thought the first step we should take would be to evaluate both the sensors and see if one performed better than the other in our particular climate and management conditions. So the two sensors we evaluated for this study were the Holland Scientific Crop Circle. This is often referred to as an amber NDVI because the visible wavelength that it uses is near the yellow and orange wavelengths, so it's often referred to as amber. It emits both a visible wave band in the 590 nanometers and a near-infrared in the 880 nanometers. And we also looked at the NTEC Industries Green Seeker sensor. This sensor is often referred to as a red NDVI sensor because the visible light it emits is in the red wavelength, the 660 nanometers, and it also emits a near-infrared in the 770 nanometer range. So there you can see the calculation for NDVI. Both sensors work under the same set of principles. They emit light and the near-infrared wavelengths, which are then reflected off the corn canopy back into the sensor, which can then be used, these reflectance measurements can then be used to calculate NDVI. And the generally, the greater amount of nitrogen within the leaf or a greater level of N health within the leaf results in a higher NDVI value. So initially what we did is kind of a pilot greenhouse study. And you can see here we built a scaffolding system here where we could adjust the height of the scaffolding above corn grown in pots. We could adjust the row spacing between the pots so that we could see if row spacing had an effect on these sensors. We could also move this bar here is on rollers, so it was able to be moved across the top of the corn canopy as well. And we were able to look at different speeds of movement across the canopy. Namely a fast rate of speed, a slow rate of speed, and a stationary where we just let the sensor kind of hover over the corn canopy and see what kind of results we'd get from there. And our initial results showed that both sensors had very high linear associations with both applied N rate and with N leaf concentration. We found that the red sensor had a little bit more variability in the NDVI readings. However, that variability did not affect the readings themselves or the effectiveness of the sensor. We also found that when we started to move the sensors at higher rates of speed, the red sensor did have a little bit different NDVI readings compared to the amber sensor, which was consistent across all different rates of speed. Here we've got an amber NDVI. This was at a 30-inch crop row spacing. We also did 10-inch and 20-inch. However, they all had very similar results, so I'm just showing you the 30-inch right now. Across different N rates at the V8, V10, and V12 corn growth stage, you can see that we had very high R-squared levels at the V10 and V12 stage, and a little bit lower at V8, but still pretty good. Same circumstances with the red sensor. Again, here you can see there's a little bit more variability in the NDVI readings, but it didn't affect the R-squares of the sensor. It also had very high R-square values at the V10 and V12 growth stage in the low to mid eights. Here's the difference between the sensor movement speed. With the amber sensor across fast, slow, and stationary movements across the corn canopy, we saw no significant differences in NDVI values. However, with the red sensor, we did see a significantly lower NDVI level at a fast rate of speed. However, we don't really consider this to be an issue with this sensor because you're most likely going to be using it at a constant rate of speed, but it is something that probably needs to be thought of a little bit more. We think with the red sensor, you just have to make sure that you're being a little bit more consistent with your speed than with the amber sensor, which it doesn't appear to matter. So from there, we moved from the greenhouse study to a field study. Our greenhouse results suggested that the amber and red sensors both worked very well in determining end variability in corn. So we conducted the study for the sensor performance under field use. What we wanted to determine here was the sensor performance across different end rate and growth stage. What was the best time to use these sensors to differentiate end variability, depending on growth stage? We also wanted to know if we could look at other variables that might be used in conjunction with NDVI to look at how well that would correlate with yield at the end of the season. And I'll get to those here in a second. So the methods, again, we use NTEX Green Seeker Red Unit and Holland Scientific's Crop Circle Sensor. We had two site years located near Fort Collins, Colorado. We collected NDVI readings at the V8, V10, V12, and V14 growth stages. And we looked at N rates of 0, 50, 100, and 175 kilograms per hectare. These were applied at corn emergence as UAN 3200. Now, for the supplemental sampling, we did at the same time of NDVI readings. So all these samples were collected at V8, V10, V12, and 14 at the exact same time that NDVI readings were collected to see if they could be used with the NDVI readings to determine how that might correlate with yield. So we took soil samples from 0 to 20 centimeters to get soil nitrate levels. We took most mature leaf of the plant sample for total N concentration. We took SPAD chlorophyll readings. And we also took plant height readings. And of course, at the end of the year, we used a plot combine with the yield monitor to determine all of our grain yields. For analysis, for all normal regressions, we use PROC-REG and SAS. For our segmented regressions, this is areas where N response reached a plateau within the corn. We used PROC-NLIN, which is PROC nonlinear within the SAS program. For analyses of variance, we use PROC-ANOVA. We also use this for LSD calculations. And for means calculations, we use PROC-MEANS and SAS. So our results show. So this is growth stage by N rate of the amber or the crop circle sensor. We saw very high R squares across all growth stages tested, V8, V10, V12, V14. Ranging anywhere from the low eights to the low nines for correlation with applied N rate. With the red sensor, again, we see more variability in our NDVI readings, but again, this did not affect our R-squares. Again, we have very good R-squares across all growth stages tested, V8, V10, V12, and V14. Anywhere, again, from the low eights to the low, to the high eights. What I just showed was just site year one. We also had the second site year. The results were almost identical, so I've only shown site year one here. But what I kind of wanted to show here, these are all the R-squares across both site years, one and two, for the amber and red NDVI sensors. These are the R-square values, and what we kind of see here within the trends is that at the V12 growth stage, we start to see kind of a jump in the R-square levels. So now that's where we saw our highest R-square levels, was at the V12 and V14 growth stages. So we think within our particular set of circumstances that the V12 to V14 growth stage would be the best time to determine end variability within the crop. Now, caveat here being that you're starting to bump against the time that you can get into the field to reapply nitrogen with traditional equipment. And these fields that we were in at this V12 growth stage, that was about the latest that we could get back into the field and apply with traditional equipment. Now, with high clearance equipment, you could get in around the V14 growth stage or even later if you wanted to. But we found that under our conditions, under a limited under irrigated corn conditions, that this V12 growth stage was about the optimum time to start to use these sensors for development of an algorithm. So we also looked at multiple regressions using all the ancillary data that I just mentioned, and we found that no ancillary variables substantially increase the R-square of NDVI with grain yield. In fact, very few of the multiple regressions were even statistically significant. We did find that plant height and spat chlorophyll did work as well as NDVI, but when combining those in a multiple regression, we saw no real increase in R-square. Another issue with this is quite often these ancillary samples can be destructive to the plant and very difficult to obtain and be very time-consuming as well, including the soil samples. That was a very time-consuming process, and not only to collecting them, but get them analyzed in time to actually use that information. Plant samples, now you're a destructive method for the plant, and also, again, getting those analyzed in time to use. Plant height was rather time-consuming to collect that data, but that did show, that did prove to be a very effective way to correlation with NDVI. And our spat chlorophyll, very easy to collect, time-consuming, but that also was highly correlated with our grain yield. So our summary conclusions is we feel that both sensors distinguished N variability equally. Both sensors related highly with N rate in excess of R-squares of 0.89. We feel that the optimum NDVI readings for our region anyway in Colorado was at the V12 to V14 growth stage. We also feel that the integration of ground-based sensors into N fertilizer application management systems could optimize the accuracy of N applications, optimize economic return of N applications, and could enhance environmental stewardship. So with that, I'd be glad to take any questions.
Yes. At the V12 to V14 growth stage, how much of the total nitrogen the plant needs would have already been accumulated by the plant?
That's a good question. I can't really answer that right now, but yeah, that would be a concern you would have with it.
Did you consider using a different vegetation index, near infrared vegetation index, or less word you?
Everything was just done with NDVI. However, that is something that we could go back and look at again to see.
Follow-up question, did you look at any other measures of significance such as a coefficient of variation or percent RMSE? R-squared with NDVI, is, probably kind of saturates towards the higher
right
ends there. Did you look at RMSE for some of those results as well?
No, we didn't, but that would be, again, something to be done later.
Did you advance to a recommendation algorithm based on?
We started looking at, we started doing some work to try to develop an NREL algorithm, and we actually started doing work with both sensors. We felt they both worked well enough that we could actually start to try to develop an algorithm for both those sensors.
Jim, if I may add a question over there. It's a concern in our environment where we have nitrous in groundwater, farmers use groundwater to provide irrigation to the crop. And so it's really a challenge to find a crop growth stage where we can capture the variability that's in the corn plant, because I know it's delayed and nitrogen consumption is a concern, but if you can't successfully capture the variability there, and do a good job in nitrogen management, then later on the variability catches up to you and it's too late, you can't do anything about it. And I think I've heard from a colleague in Nebraska and Oklahoma and Missouri and other places that what is a good stage to be able to capture the variability that plant may exhibit as early as possible.
All right, thank you.